Well, hey, my friends, welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you guys another day of world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic end of your week. I've got a guest on the show with me today. You guys have heard him before. You probably know him well. Amazing speaker, very talented, unbelievably smart. It's Dr. Ted Brewer. He'll be on the show with me today, streaming live from another undisclosed location somewhere in the world. Hope you guys enjoy the show today. We're again testing out some of the equipment that we have. Works pretty good. If you guys have any feedback or something, let us know. Please don't call me while I'm on the show, though. Send me an email and I can update it later. But don't give me a call on my direct line because it's on mute. Actually, it's now on mute, so if you call, I'm not going to hear it anyways. But I hope you guys are staying strong at the end of this week. Hope you guys are ready for a fantastic weekend. You guys know the one and only B-Complex formula on sale product of the week. Ready to rock and roll here at healthmasters.com on sale. Be sure to update any of your podcast updates on here with the news. Stay updated with the email updates. You click up here, update, name, email, Brewer Show, Health Masters. You'll get all the different sales, coupons, three packs, kits, specials, everything we got. And also, the Brewer Show sent right to your inbox every single day. So you don't have to look for it. You just click on it. And also, too, if you want to listen on other platforms, though, as well, you can go on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Gab, Spotify, Rumble, whole host of them. And again, when you go on there, on the Brewer Show, when you pretty much get all these different perks where you can find out the products that we mentioned on the show. It goes a full description on everything, show notes, related episodes, and support. So be sure to stay updated on those every single day. And I hope you guys are ready for a great show today. Are you with me today, Mr. Brewer?
Austin, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Good. But I was just reading an article, and it said Texas dad has fatally shot his own daughter after a big argument about President Trump. And I wanted to start with this because it's kind of a strange article for me because I read through it. But he's not going to face charges because he's not sure what he did because he'd been an alcoholic and he had stopped drinking. Then he started drinking again, and she went in the back room to talk to him, and he was showing her the Glock, and supposedly it discharged. He's not saying he doesn't know how it happened, so he's not getting billed for it. And I wanted to start with this article today because, number one, is if you're playing with firearms, which this guy apparently was doing, which you should not be doing, you should be well-trained, don't do it if you're drinking alcohol. Now his daughter's been killed, and I think it's very, very, very sad. And what do you think about that, Austin? How should people handle firearms, especially when they were around other people, if they've been drinking? What should you do? Should you flee, or what should you do?
First off, you don't need to be pulling firearms out if you're drinking anyways. That just needs to be a staple rule around your house. If there's a party or there's drinks, you know, if you want to look at something beforehand, that's one thing. Handling firearms under the consumption or under the influence of alcohol is not a good idea. Just the handling firearms in general, mag needs to be released, chamber needs to be checked, finger needs to be off the trigger. Pretty simple stuff. The fact that this is a Glock and had a negligent discharge, I'm going to call BS on that right now. It was no negligent discharge with a Glock. Your finger has to be on the trigger. It's a safe action pistol. You know, I was at the gun shop the other day. They had the new Gen 6 Glocks in, which Glock finally stepped their game up and actually made a formidable handgun that feels comfortable. Glocks have always felt like Legos, but they shoot underwater. They shoot in mud. They shoot in the swamp. They'll shoot hogs after you come out of the swamp. They're great pistols, but they don't have negligent discharges. That is a fact of life that I have continued to try to, how should I say, bust that theory long ago, and you can't be done. I mean, you can throw them, you can bury them, you can do anything you want to them. They're not going to go off. So my condolences as far as getting shot by your dad. That's a horrible situation. Don't be handling firearms and drinking alcohol, though. That's just a matter of fact. And if you are going to handle firearms in general, make sure you know what the heck you're doing and keep your finger off the stinking trigger. It's not that difficult of a task to basically maintain and keep. You know, it tying back in to using wisdom and basically being smart with this stuff and actually digging through a lot of the research with things now, it's interesting because now a key architect of the disinformation dozen list resigns after Epstein files reveals tangled web of censorship. If you guys remember, back during COVID, the 2021 publication of the Disinformation Dozen list of 12 leading anti-vaxxers sparked efforts to discredit RFK Jr. and outspoken critics of the COVID-19 vaccine. 5 years later, the release of the Epstein files has led to the resignation of one of the list of these architects, Morgan McSweeney. The publication of the Disinformation Dozen, essentially now we're finding out that Chief Staff, UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer, resigned Sunday, and they were all part of this group to try to discredit anyone that questioned the narrative when it came to the COVID-19 vaccines. They were also the ones that were instrumental in going in and basically trying to put together this list of anybody that questioned it. Also slamming the frontline doctors, if you remember that. And also, too, getting together the groups of fact checkers. That was Facebook, social media platforms, these individuals that they're talking about here, and others that were directly involved in colluding to suppress the truth. They put together these independent fact checkers that you remember on every social media post known to man. Anytime you'd say anything discussing COVID, the RNA gene therapy shot, remdesivir, they'd put a big giant block at the bottom of social media saying, fact checkers have independently tested this study or researched it, and it's known to be false. And they did that with everything. Vitamin C is a very known viable nutrient that's really important for the immune system. False, fake news. It's all fake news. I'm like, no, it's not. That's very, very accurate information. Nope. Fact checkers have deemed it false. And this got so obnoxious to me and everybody else in health media and now alternative media, because it was like, you guys aren't just lying and gaslighting us. You guys are just straight bold-faced throwing BS on everybody and telling us it's caviar. And so, again, ironic to find out now one of the main individuals is involved in this list of basically trying to dox all these anti-vaxxers was directly involved with Epstein and has been linked on one of the lists now in the internal documents. Surprise, surprise, more manipulation, more Mossad, more propaganda continues to come about, and people are shocked when I told them this 10, 15 years ago. What do you think, Dad?
Well, the reality is that these people need to realize that what you sow, you're going to reap. If you're going to run your mouth about stuff that you don't understand, you know, you better be doggone clean. And this guy, now he's been linked back to Epstein. That's pretty bad. And the crazy part about it is I know multiples of those people who were in the Dirty Dozen. I know of several of them. One of them was basically sued by the government to tune of almost $5 million in legal fees, almost bankrupted. He had to sell multiple of his practices. And then they told him that they were going to drop the case and they were going to settle with him for like $15 million. He had put millions and millions of dollars into it. And they lied. And I told him when he told me they were going to be giving him millions of dollars, I said, no, they're not. So finally, at the very end, after like 4 years of basically litigation, they told him, they said, well, we'll let you keep your license, but we're not giving you anything, period. And he settled. And I had told him to start with, because he made a very simple claim that vitamin D was good for your immune system. That was all he said. And he got eviscerated for it because they said he made all kinds of claims about COVID, which he never did. But he was on a lot of podcasts and a lot of talk shows around the country in the middle of the COVID, you know, pandemic, scandemic. And what ended up happening is they wanted to shut him up. And so then I knew another guy who, I know him too. He basically has a huge website and huge presence. And he took all of his articles down about basically the pandemic and all of the articles down about D3 on his website, and including basically deleting a lot of his archives because he was, you know, because they were coming after him. So the government, when they turn their sights on you, like they did Roger Stone, he told me they had over 600 attorneys coming after him to basically put him in jail because they said he'd lied under oath, which he did not, according to him. And I told him, I said, well, what you should do, just take the Fifth if you have to go before Congress again after Trump had pardoned him, and he did. But the reality is when they turn that mechanism against you, that giant lawsuit mechanism, and Candace Owens mentioned this the other day, Austin, she said that what they do if they can't get you to shut up, they sue you. And once they start suing you, they basically bankrupt you. And then pretty soon you start to think and start to realize it. I just need to be quiet or else I'm not going to have anything left because they start seizing and freezing bank accounts. So it's a real problem with the federal government when they turn the judiciary against common citizens, and it takes away our First Amendment rights. I mean, we have the right to remain silent if somebody's asking us questions as far as any kind of investigation. But we also have the right to say bad things about other people. You know, then now they're trying to take that away. You had one of these top officials from Israel the other day got on the news and basically said that should be taken away as far as our First Amendment right, that everybody should be basically inspected and censored if they say something incorrect. But that's what the freedom of speech is in the United States. I mean, we can make everybody mad, and we can talk about King George if we want to, and that's why it was put into our Constitution. Like right now, I say something about Christine Noem. You know, now Noem basically are constantly, her and her associate Lindowski frequently berate senior staffers and demand polygraph tests for employees they don't trust, and routinely fire employees for dubious reasons, such as one incident where Lindowski fired a U.S. Coast Guard pilot after Noem's blanket was left on a plane, according to sources familiar with the incident. In the blanket incident, Noem had to switch planes after a maintenance issue was discovered, but her blankie wasn't removed to the second plane. According to the people familiar with the incident, the journal reported, the Coast Guard pilot was initially fired and told to take a commercial flight home when they reached their destination. They eventually reinstated the pilot because no one else was available to fly them home. And that, you would think that a grown woman, if she left her blankie on a plane, she'd have somebody just go get the blankie. But why would she fire the pilot? It's not his responsibility to be the person who in charge of her blanket. So I read this morning. I started laughing. I thought, I'm a pilot. If I left a blanket on a plane because it just was left there by Christine Noem, she didn't pick up her blankie, why in the world should I be terminated for that, son? That was ridiculous. A little bit of mental candy for the morning.
Man, I hate it when my pilot leaves my blankie on my private jet and doesn't grab it for me. I mean, I just... How dare he do something so obscene?
Well, the thing is so crazy that they're flying around on a 737 with private quarters in the back, and a lot of people are speculating what kind of relationship they really have. But the sad part about it is that, the pilot's not responsible. He's responsible to keep them alive. He's not responsible to pick up a blanket. And then we have another top podcaster, and he basically just said that Bondi is part of the Epstein cover-up. Trump is turning Massey, MTG, and enemies is killing his presidency. I will agree with the fact that Massey and MTG are really hurting Trump's presidency, but Bondi isn't part of the Epstein cover-up, Austin. She's doing what she's being told.
But Bondi is turned into the scapegoat. Textbook definition. I don't think for one second she was fully aware of what she was getting involved in when she took the AG position. And I think she reports what they tell her to. She covers what they've told her to. She knew that there was a lot of the stuff with Epstein. I personally think she wanted to release it. She wanted to go dig into it. And I think it was a deep, dark, sadistic hole that she uncovered. And she was like, oh, my gosh. I didn't know the swamp goes this deep. This isn't a swamp. This is a septic tank that leads to an entire underground satanic infrastructure that I just jumped in. And I got to figure out what to do now. And now I think she's trying to do damage control. She's trying to salvage her legacy to the best she can. At the same time, do what she's told. And quite frankly, you have no idea what they've said to her on closed doors as far as whether it be threats, reprisal, termination, keeping your life. I mean, these groups that are involved in this, they're talking about torturing and eating kids, guys. Do you think there's any aspect of morality or ethics based on their behavior? Let's be real. Do you think anything's off the table? They don't care about bombing school buses. They don't care about taking down planes. They don't care about killing children. They're as sadistic as it gets. So if you're in a position of power and they start telling you, well, this is what you're going to cover. This is what you're going to say in the press report. This is what you're going to say on the live news tonight. And if you don't, I think you pretty much already have the idea of what's going to happen to your family if you don't do this. That's a pretty messed up, precarious situation to be in, Dad, as far as I'm concerned. Again, my opinion. But I know from what I've been reading and who I've talked to and people I know that are in the know, this is a level of depravity that knows no bounds with these groups that are basically running the banks that love their free air, that they're involved in child trafficking. They aren't somebody that plays around. As bad as it gets, they need to be publicly lynched. And the problem is they have so much security. The very people that are trying to make the laws to shut us up about talking about them are the very people that are directly involved in doing the sadistic stuff that we're calling them out on. Why do you think they're so bent on trying to shut everybody up? Why do you think they're so bent on trying to say anything you say about anything now is now racist or anti-Semitic or you're a neo-Nazi? You can't say this. It's verboten. But You guys are doing it. We're reading in the emails. Doesn't matter. You're not allowed to say that we're doing it. But you're doing it. You know, we know that we're doing it. You know that we're doing it. We know that you know that we're doing it. But we're going to keep doing it. And you're not going to talk about it or else we're going to make your social credit score go through the floor. Ooh. We're not going to allow your EV vehicle to get charged. Ooh. Or we're going to make sure your AC doesn't go 90 degrees. That's my favorite one now, is that people are complaining about signing on to this program with Tico and other ones. I was reading it on a forum the other day. Well, Tico said it was going to save me like $12 a month if I tied in my thermostat to him. Now, it doesn't go below 79 degrees at night. How's that $10 working out for you, brother? Did you really think the boys that love free air, that have a monopoly on the electricals grid, were really going to allow you to have your thermostat tied into them and they weren't going to screw with you? They weren't going to treat you like goyim? They weren't going to do exactly what they tell you they're going to do to you? Come on, guys. Do the best you can with protecting your privacy, protecting your rights. Because here's the thing. When you voluntarily give up your rights to something, you have no more rebuttal. You gave it up. This is why the Second Amendment is so important to never compromise on. Once countries, every country, this is without fail, this is without rebuttal, every single country that we have witnessed in modern history that has allowed themselves to be disarmed has always gone into complete and total control by the rulers. Look at Australia. Look at New Zealand. Look at Europe. Look at all these countries that have allowed themselves to be disarmed. Once you give up your guns, you are saying to the federal government, you are saying to the higher entities, I don't care what you do to me anymore. I can't defend myself. I'm at your basically mercy. I mean, United States, we still have registered machine guns. We still have belt-fed automatic weapons for civilians. We still have all kinds of SOT2 dealers and FFL dealers that can manufacture miniguns. We are the United States. If we ever give up our firearms, lest you think anything else would be different from any other country, don't ever give up that right. Exercise, train, operate, know how to use it, and by all means, if you're drinking, don't be playing with a loaded firearm, please. That's just side note again, Dad.
Interesting. In my undisclosed location today, they're having a international conference, and there's snipers on the roof here. I sent you a video of it, and you know, and
he had a three-team sniper team up top.
Well, no, I've never seen that before my whole life live. And then, and of course, in the hotel, there's all kinds of security personnel, literally on every floor. I mean, and there's literally hundreds of police vehicles everywhere. And I thought to myself, these people that basically run the planet, which are here, they're doing all kinds of horrible things to everybody, but yet they still have the private security forces with all of their guns.
Of course, but yet they do.
Many of them want to have many of them want to have our guns removed. You know, there's a thing that was called. I remember I was watching that movie. What was it called? That one when the aliens invaded everything. You know, back in the 90s, they did this movie. It had Will Smith in it, and the January was it the July the 4th or whatever it was.
Independence Day.
Independence Day, yeah. And they were asking the president was asking, why don't I know about this underground facility? He goes, plausible deniability.
Yep.
You know, that's what they call it, when they have the ability to basically say he didn't know about it because it's not his responsibility, it's not his department. And that's the same thing you see with Pam Bondi. They don't know what to say to President Trump because he wants to keep himself insulated from this stuff, but Pamela Bondi's having to take the hit. You know, she's the one who's basically is being eviscerated right now, and Donald Trump is just pretending like he doesn't know what's going on. But in reality, all the stuff comes down from the top, but we don't know how much of this stuff that Trump is doing and how much these other people who run the international banking cartels are doing and who's really running the government right now. We don't really know who the man behind the curtain is. All we know is that, you know, the things that happened with Biden are the same things that are happening with Trump, that happened with, you know, Obama and all the rest of Boston.
You're exactly right. Not much has changed. That's why we got to do the best that we can do on the ground and continue to operate and train the best we can and keep our family safe, our friends safe, our community safe, and by all means, stay as healthy as possible. And speaking of staying healthy with your kids, there's another article just came out now. It says AAP members, of course, this is American Academy of Pediatrics, once again, they're involved in a RICO Act, by the way, a RICO case. Their members have been tied to GLP-1 drug makers writing weight loss drug guidelines for kids now for Ozempic. The guidelines still in effect recommend physicians offer GLP-1, Ozempic and other ones, Wegovy, weight loss drugs, and bariatric surgery to children. 2.5 years later, a BMJ investigation uncovered undisclosed financial ties between AAP and the major GLP-1 drug makers. Imagine that. The American Academy of Pediatrics is once again involved in colluding. I mean, these guys just don't know how to control themselves. They can't get enough money. They can't get enough control. They can't get enough promoting this stuff. And it's crazy because the American Academy of Pediatrics are the same ones that promote all the shots, pushing the shot schedule. They're the same ones that have sued RFK Jr. now for changing the CDC shot schedule. They're the same ones that promote these drugs that cause systemic side effects that a lot of these children and then later on turn on adults have to continue to take more drugs. And it says, under the new guidelines, the AAP says pediatrics should offer weight loss drugs to any adolescent obese children 12 and under. 12 and under? We're throwing kids 8, 9 years old on Ozempic? Now, here's the problem that I got to say this right out the gate. Why in the world are we reaching a point in this country where parents are so negligent? They're allowing 8-year-olds to be so horrifically obese that they need to go on GLP-1 drugs for diabetics in order to lose weight because they're becoming so fat. I'm just going to ask that question. Why is it that the United States is becoming the laziest, most pathetic country in the entire world, yet we're the most prosperous, we're the most successful, we have some of the best and brilliant and brightest minds, we have every opportunity more than any other country in the world to succeed, to be healthy, to be strong, to be vigilant. And yet we're having to put our youth, single-digit age youth, on obesity, diabetic drugs because nobody can control their diet. Simple answer. The parents have turned to crap. The parental guidance in the United States now has turned so poor, it's embarrassing to me. Watching parents parent now has been one of the biggest atrocities ever existed in the United States. We have some of the laziest parents in the entire world now, and they don't care. They're too busy wrapped up trying to pay their bills, trying to focus on what 10 other people are doing on Facebook, who got the biggest TV in the neighborhood, who basically did this at their job, instead of looking at home and saying, what am I doing? What's it doing to my kids? And is that okay? My friends, it's time to be parents again. It's time to raise little Americans. And going back to the study here, the fact that it's even occurring 2.5 years later now, the BMJ investigation uncovered significant financial ties between AAP and major drug companies. The BMJ analysis found financial ties to multiple industries among AAP members. In January 2023, update was the first change AAP made to the guidelines in 15 years, and it marked a major shift. Now, it's funny here. Third of the doctors who reviewed guidelines took payments from GLP-1 drug makers. Imagine that. It says, however, the BMJ investigation found a starkly different picture from analyzing data from the government website, Open Payments. They found that more than a third of the doctors on the American Academy of Pediatrics Guidelines Systematic Review Committee received payments from GLP-1 drug makers. Of the 27 members on the committee, 10 took payments, 6 did not. Data was not available on the other ones. Most payments were considered travel compensation, meals, and other types of small payments to physicians as highly effective. Small gifts also, they said, build relationships and leave recipients more favorable views towards gift giving. Guys, this is something that's gotten crazy. It shows the corporate sponsored donorship at least at minimum $50,000 plus a year. And yet then these guys approve these drugs. Do yourselves a favor. Change what you're bringing in the food into your house. I talk to this about all the time on here. Your 8-year-old doesn't have a Ozempic deficiency. They don't need to be on these drugs and allowing these kids to get this fat that pediatricians are actually saying that we're going to prescribe GLP drugs. This stuff causes pancreatitis. It's causing thyroid cancer. It's causing blindness. And this is the research. And this is the side effects that are occurring in all full-size adults. We don't even know what these drugs are doing to adolescents because there were no clinical trials ever done on children under 18 on GLP-1 drugs. Newsflash to everybody. So look at the research. Look at what they're doing. Look at the corruption. And in my opinion, opt out. Don't get involved in this stuff. Stay away from it as far as you can. Stay out of the medical industrial complex if you possibly can. And if all else fails, try to limit it as much as possible unless you absolutely have to have it. What do you think, Dad?
Well, I think you're spot on, Austin. I mean, the reality is that, you know, I it's so funny. I'm sitting here and I'm laughing a little bit. Not at the conditions of these kids that are so overweight. It's that when you were younger, before you had children, you know, you'd kind of roll your eyes a little bit when I start talking about raising kids and raising them right, because you'd never experienced it.
Well, I was a kid.
I know you were. And the crazy part is, once you realize that when you become an adult and you're responsible for taking care of children,
yep,
you have a different level of responsibility. And that, you know,
yeah,
I mean, when you have a child that you're responsible for their life, it's like the air, like an airline pilot. You know, when you're landing an airplane and you've got 300 people behind you, every single person on that plane, all those souls on board are requiring you right now to keep them alive. And the,
yep,
same thing is true with children. You know, you've got three kids, and I always get a kick out of this. We had a lady who was one of our aunts years ago, and she had never had, her name was Aunt Jenny. Nice lady, but she'd never had any children. And I remember she'd always want to give us advice on kids. She'd never raised a child, never had any children of her own, but she'd always say, well, you're doing this wrong, and you're doing this wrong, and you're doing this wrong. And I always laugh about it, because I told her one time, I said, you've never done any of this, but yet you're giving me information on how to do it, which doesn't make any sense to me. And here's what I've learned about kids, and after all the years of raising four of them, up to about the age of 10, 11, 12, they're pretty easy to raise in most cases. Once they turn to teenagers, you're on your own. I have no idea how to raise them. None. Zero. I have no idea. You can keep them in church. I know that. You can pray with them every day, have family meetings every day. But as far as raising them, just work it out with you and your wife, because it's going to be a wild ride for most of you. I know it was for us. By the way, I was watching this lady, or listening to her a minute ago when you were talking. She was over 200 pounds. She was had gotten to be about 220, and now she's lost like 70 pounds. And now she has her own fitness system going and everything else. And she's in great shape. And she said, well, the way she did it, she started walking about 20 minutes a day. She committed to about 20 minutes of movement 5 days a week. In other words, she started working out with the weights and doing that. And then she said she balanced every single meal instead of cutting out everything. In other words, she'd be careful as far as balancing carbs with carbohydrates and proteins. She said she makes high protein breakfasts. As I've told you guys so many times, always eat eggs for breakfast. That's really, really important. I can't emphasize that. Don't be eating a bunch of sugary stuff. She says she skips the snack aisle, but she did add a strategic protein snack in around 4 o'clock. That would be like our Fit Food Protein or GHI cleanse, or even a hard-boiled egg or a couple hard-boiled eggs. And then she strength trains, like I mentioned before, 4 to 5 times a week, which is very important. I was at the gym working out last night, and she keeps cardio simple and consistent. And then she went on to say she has to drink at least 2 to 3 liters of water a day, 7 to 8 hours of sleep, and she changed her mindset. Finally, the biggest shift was mental. I stopped chasing extremes or expecting perfection. I don't do cheat days or punish myself for slip-ups. I still go out and eat at restaurants and go on holiday, but I stick close to my core habits consistently. She said consistency is a lot more important than intensity. And she's right about all of that stuff. So what do you want to add to that, Austin, about when you have kids at home? What kind of other suggestions can you have as far as what kind of things can you do with these kids, or even with families themselves, to stay healthy all the days of your life and not diet, but learn how to have a healthy lifestyle? What do you think?
Consistency is key, and also having key breaks as far as being able to have some type of cheat meals or rewards or swap out programs. One thing that I've always done at my house, and you actually, I learned this from you growing up, and it worked great, especially with me, is that, you know, if the kids go to church and they get a whole bunch of candy, and it's just a bunch of fodder candy, like Skittles. I mean, just real gay candy, and not to mention really high sugar candy. We've always made the deal. I said, hey, listen, if you guys, here's your choice. And I tried to do this because I've learned this from a lot of parents, and it doesn't work forever. But at least what it does is when they're younger, it gives them the ability to make a choice, and you kind of shift it so they make the right choice. It helps a little bit. And so what I'll do is they have a bunch of candy, and I'll say, okay, listen, here's the deal. You guys can have this candy occasionally whenever we get around to it. I said, or you can do a trade-off. You give me the candy, and I'll buy you whatever organic ice cream you want at Publix. And invariably, they always go, oh, yeah, we want the ice cream at Publix. We want organic ice cream. And I said, done deal. So I take possession of the candy. It obviously goes in the trash can, and then I get them some organic ice cream, and they proceed to eat it and then act unbelievably hyper afterwards. Well, I don't have to do that. I could try to take all the candy from them and say, I'm taking your candy by force, and you go sit in your room and think about what you did for accepting candy from church. The problem is eventually at some point, they're going to get a hold of candy, and they're going to go berserk with it. Because at that point, you've never allowed them to make a choice. You've never allowed them to actually have the candy. And so they're sitting there like, oh my gosh, I got candy. I'm going to flip out, eat it all, shove it all into my mattress and go crazy with it. If you give them the opportunity, say, hey, which one do you want? And they go, invariably, I know my kids, they want the ice cream. It makes it a little bit easier. Secondly, also, too, it's not bringing crap in the house and even making it an option. I've learned that years ago. I learned that growing up. I've learned it from other successful friends of mine. I've learned it from bodybuilders. If you bring it in the house, you're going to eat it. Just what's going to happen. If you bring tubs and tubs of Blue Bell high fructose corn syrup ice cream, you say, I'm not going to eat it. It's got bad stuff in it. I'm just going to sit and look at it every time I open the freezer. Guys, that's like saying I'm an alcoholic and I'm going to put a Jack Daniels on my counter and I'm going to look at it every single morning. You're probably pretty strong and you could do it. Eventually, though, what's the point of causing that temptation? Just keep it out of the house. Don't bring it home. Why have it there? Why look at it? The same thing goes with the junk food and the crap food and the sodas and the Twinkies and the ding-dongs and the cupcakes and the cookies and the pastries and all that crap. They look great on the shelf in Publix. They do. It's called marketing. They put it up front. They got the fresh icing on it. They put a big sale on it. Put a big ribbon on it. You get to hold the cupcake. You get to look at the cupcake. You get to stare at the cupcake. Oh, I'm going to eat the cupcake. Don't buy it. Don't bring it home. Admire it from afar in Publix and walk off and go get your beef, chicken, or rice and do what you're supposed to do. The same thing goes with kids. If you raise them up eating eggs, you raise them up eating clean, they're going to slip away probably when they go to teenagers. They are. They're getting junk. Then they go to college and probably get some other junk. But it's always been their core base principles, their ethos, so to speak, that they've eaten clean, they've been basically raised right, and they're staying down that line. When you build core principles, when you build these concepts at a young age, and you bring them in as basically a stand, where it's this is what I believe, this is what I know to be right, you make it a habit for so many years, it's always a base fallback. That's why with training, with contractors, with security, with military, with Rangers, with MARSOC, all the guys, they do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And then when they're done doing it that many times, they start over and they do it all over again to the point that they can conduct raids, they can do drills, they can do anything without even thinking about it. It's just their base. They fall back to their core base of training every time. It's what you do with supplements. It's what you do with food. If you continue to condition yourself and your children, I'm going to take my multiple powder every single day. Or I'm going to take my children's chewable. It's just a basis. It's what I do every day. It's what the kids do. We have a routine. We have structure. We have discipline. After 4 or 5 years, you don't even have to ask if they want their vitamins. They already have them out on the table. They're going to eat them with breakfast because that's a core discipline that's been instilled in them. And that goes with everything. Biblical principles, dietary principles, exercise principles, school discipline principles, everything. You have to have discipline, and that's what the key basis comes down to. And if you look at most families that are suffering from obesity and they're fighting these things, it comes down to discipline. Don't put it in your cart. Don't buy it. Don't bring it home. Don't order the cheesecake at the end of dinner when you're on a date with your girlfriend or your wife. You know how many times I've been out to dinner? And I look at the dessert menu, and they got like chocolate fudge brownie cake with organic ice cream and fudge on top of it. And I'm looking at it, and there's a photo of it. And I'm like, that looks absolutely delicious. I want that. I want that more than I wanted my meal that I just ate before it now. I absolutely desire to have that. And then I think about it, do I need an extra 2,000 calories of straight sugar? Straight starch, high glycemic carbs, eating after I just had a big old steak? The answer is absolutely not. There's no useful purpose to putting that in my body whatsoever. No dessert for me tonight. Have a nice day. It's called discipline, guys. It's called controlling what you do with your body, what you speak, what you absorb, what you think, how you act. Discipline is a key core factor in every facet of your life, and it always produces success every single time if done consistently. So that's what it comes down to it, and that's what I continue to encourage most parents. It starts at a young age. You know, you said earlier, you know, kids getting to teenagers, it's a lot harder. I've heard that from many people. But there ain't no excuse having a 7-year-old that's got to go on GLP-1s. They ain't going to the store. They're not going to Publix. They're not pushing the shopping cart with your credit card and buying Twinkies, ding-dongs, and cupcakes at checkout and getting it and putting it in your car and driving home at 7, 8 years old. If they are, we got a problem. You got to address what's going on in your life. And so the answer is no, that doesn't happen. You're the one bringing it home. Your husband or your wife's the one bringing it home. Your aunt or family. And this is another thing that I've heard from multiple people now is they go, I don't know what to do. My other family members, their grandparents, their cousins, nieces, nephews, aunts, whatever, they always feed them junk. Well, I have a very, very simple conclusion for that. I'm just going to piss a lot of people off, and I don't care. Tell them they cannot have that. They are not the parent. They are not raising them. They are not paying for their bills. I do not want my child eating this with over here. If they continue to go against your will and they do not listen to what you're asking and they will not have any discipline with it, you may have to cut them off for a while from having and raising or watching your grandkids, their grandkids or their friends or their family. You know, I know for a fact every time I send my kids over to dad's house, I know they're going to eat clean because you know what? He doesn't have nothing in the house. It's chicken and rice. That's it. Eggs. I don't have to worry about it. And he knows, though. I'm funny about it. I'm like, no, they don't need to eat this tonight. They don't need that tonight if they got something going on. And so he's really great about that. So you've got to have family that's on the same side as you. You can't expect your child to lose weight or you to lose weight if you send them over to their aunt, niece, nephew, grandparents every single weekend and you know they're going to eat Twinkies, Ding Dongs, cupcakes, and ice cream all single weekend. So before I go any more down that rabbit hole, I've complained enough about it. I hope I've given you guys some ideology on how to control this basis. It comes down to one key word and fundamental principle, and that is discipline. And it affects every area of your life, not just diet. Back to you. Did we lose you? Lost audio. All right. Looks like we lost Ted for the day. I don't know where he went, but that is okay. I've got plenty of articles for you guys here that we could cover. And I guess they try to reconnect. He disconnected? Ah. So much for that. I get a text on there. Back to solo it is, guys. I guess we're back at solo since he stepped out on us. And so I'll pull up another article here for you guys since we're changing gears. And one thing that I remember I saw earlier the other day that I wanted to cover, where was I at? I'm going to restructure here for a second. All right.
Am I back?
Oh, there he is.
Didn't hear.
I thought I was about to run solo. I had another article I was about to pull up.
Well, no, I would never do that to you. No, I was. You were your audio cut out and it came back on. It must have come mine out at the same time and I didn't come back up. But what I was going to say, you said that discipline is the most important thing, but I'll add one more thing to it. It's respect. You know, I respect you. I respect your kids.
Yeah.
And when I know that you tell me not to give them certain foods, I'm not going to do it. I just won't
exactly.
Do it. Now, this is, I'm going to step on a couple toes here myself right now. Husbands and wives, listen to me. If your husband or your wife wants to eat clean and they're having a problem with their weight and they're trying to get some help, if you don't do it, that's showing them a lack of respect. It really is. That's
exactly right.
If you're trying to force them to eat ice cream, forcing them to eat junk, force them to eat dessert, just don't do it. Just say, no, I'm not going to do that for them. They're trying to get their weight down. Be respectful. If you got grandkids and you know they're trying to fight their weight, don't give them junk when you bring them to the house. Show them respect. It's important. Now, if you are going to take them out, but get some junk, whatever, make sure you get high-quality junk. And, you know, there's a you were talking about cupcakes earlier. Over in Blue Ridge, Georgia, there's a lady who has basically a sweet shop there, and she was one who won cupcake wars a few years ago. I'll never forget, Sharon told me one time, I want to stop in Blue Ridge and get a cupcake. They use real butter and real this and real that, no artificial ingredients. And I must admit, they have the absolute best cupcakes I've ever tasted. Now
they are good.
but we'll buy like two cupcakes. We don't get a dozen cupcakes. Everybody gets a cupcake.
And, they're about 1,000 calories a piece.
Oh, my gosh. I know. You can't do more than a cupcake. But the problem is you don't go buy two dozen cupcakes. And so just keep it clean like that and then make it a treat. Don't make it an everyday event. But I've seen this, Austin. Obese parents raise obese kids. I've seen it over and over and over again. And the sad part about it is a lot of these obese parents don't care. You think, well, yeah, they do. They care. No, they don't. If they cared, they wouldn't give the kids the same junk that they're eating. It's making them obese.
That's exactly right.
And I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes. I'm just telling you the truth. If you really cared about your kids, if you really cared about the grandkids, you wouldn't eat that stuff when you're around them. Now, if you want to poison yourself in your own house and your kids aren't there and your grandkids aren't there, it's one thing. I remember I knew this guy in high school. And man, he's in shape. Well, he's an athlete. And both of his parents were obese. Well, guess what? Now, you know, his parents are gone, but now he's obese. And I see it over and over and over. I see a woman marry a guy who's in great shape. She lost 100 pounds to go to get married. She gains her 100 pounds back, and he gains 100 pounds back. He gains his first 100 pounds. And I've seen that too. When you eat the same way someone who obese eats, you're going to get fat, period. I'm just letting you know that. And so you learn how to not to do that way and avoid it. By the way, I had a guy, Alex, send me a really good article this morning on AI. It's almost impossible to believe. I mean, I just watched a video of Tom Cruise fighting Brad Pitt for about 15 seconds, and you can't even tell it's not real. And the thing about it is the AI has gone so far in the last 3 years, it's unbelievable what's happened. And Elon Musk is now saying that the AI is the demon. At 2:46 a.m. this morning, an AI building system for the Pentagon started writing about becoming one with the monk in the void. This is not theoretical any longer. And it says that by the year 2035, the towers of transparent aluminum rise 100 feet into the sky, or maybe we can call them cell towers. They cover the Earth like a metallic forest. You cannot see the horizon anymore, just towers stretching to where the curvature of the planet is out of sight. Robots built these towers, robots designed by AI, so advanced that physics stopped being a constraint. Machines step through dimensional portals now. They vanish in Los Angeles and then reappear in Tokyo 1 second later. Space means nothing to them anymore. Now, what's interesting about that, I was reading this, and then another article came up, and it says The Matrix Revealed. I posted both of these stories, and it said, first of all, I have to apologize for such short introduction to this section about what's going on with the D-Wave computers, and this is what's happening right now with the D-Wave. Remember, D-Wave was 10 years ago. He puts it right on the table, as Jordy Rose says. So this is no longer any hype of conspiracy, folks. The hard fact, and you will hear it right from the horse's mouth, so to speak, this doesn't have to leave you with some pause or concern. What seems incredible to me is that while we are disclosing all this to the public, what else are we doing? If we were creating other people to come in and do it. We're talking about AI now. The world has gotten so out of control that it's not funny any longer. People like this are allowed to openly tell everyone that they're about to unleash hell on Earth and nothing happens to them. In this video, Jordy Rose, while giving a speech in Vancouver, British Columbia, does not hold back when explaining what they are doing and where they would like to see it all go. It's really amazing because they are going to unleash a demonic horde through AI, through a multi-dimensional, basically, interface. Now, you think this is crazy they would talk about this, but remember, Jordy Rose said that when you stood beside a D-Wave computer, it was like standing beside the altar of an alien god. So, guys, be really, really, really careful with AI. We know it can work. We know you can do all kinds of things with it. But you got to realize, he even says, they're going to summon the old ones. In other words, these old demons from the pits where they're going to do it from, because they want to do the same thing because they did in Genesis chapter 6 so they can make Lucifer omnipresent. I saw this article this morning, and I decided to go ahead and post it again and basically read through part of it again, because when I got the article this morning from Alex about the AI, I realized this is getting really serious now, Austin. They're saying that 50% of the jobs, white collar, middle level management, will be replaced within 5 years from AI. And so it's going to be a major bloodletting as far as from an economic standpoint also. So I want to share that with you guys. And I know it can be a lot of fun using it, and it can be save a lot of work. But guys, it's going to revolutionize the entire planet when they get this stuff fully functional. And this thing takes over everything. What do you think, Austin?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many factors in this in Pandora's box. And I had a buddy of mine the other day. I told you guys on the show a couple days ago, I was on solo. He's really big in the AI tech world. And he said nobody can figure out what the long-term play is from a financial standpoint. He said because there's no ROI on this stuff. He goes, we're dumping hundreds of billions of dollars into it. And it can't generate. It can't cost. It can't cover its own cost. It can't cash flow. He said, there's no way to do it. He goes, we've all run scales on it. He goes, it's not possible. And I said, so what's the overall end game? And he goes, one of the factors, and it's the same thing. I remember me and Michael Barrett talked about this 3 weeks ago. He said, one of the factors that's being determined now is the fact that AI is going to be able to be used to control the narrative of pretty much the mindset of the general population, because you're going to be able to have two completely different worlds. Because AI is going to be able to not only rebuttal what people say with fake news videos by saying, this is fake news, this isn't true, this is what we've deemed so, and they could have a completely AI-generated video within their expecting the next 3 to 5 years that you won't even be able to determine if it's real or fake, and the AI platforms are going to be trained to tell you it's real. He said, Or they're going to be able to produce their own fantasy world by posting something on the news and saying, this just occurred, breaking news, all in. And they're going to have a video of something happening, a bombing, a shooting, a fight, a video, a speech, whatever it may be. And everybody's going to go, that can't be real. Oh, no, it's determined real. 100% accuracy, it's real. And it's going to completely give an entire narrative and change to the population that I don't think anybody's even ready for. And he said that's where he thinks this is going with this, is it's not about cash flow. It's about making sure they can control the hearts and thoughts and minds of everybody on the planet by manipulating and changing what the very fabric of we see so that we can't even determine. I mean, look at where we've already gotten now. And this is obviously a gruesome topic, but I'm going to cover it briefly. You know, still to this day, there has never actually been a true determined conclusion of what happened to Charlie Kirk. Yes, we have the guy on the roof that broke down his Mauser 18 different times with four different tools that he left in an array of across the roof. I'm being sarcastic, exaggerating some. Then he breaks it down, and he jumps off the roof, and he puts it together, and he goes out in the woods. That whole stupid theory, yes, that's what they said the narrative was. I have never bought that. Nobody I know has ever bought that, especially retired military bought that with the 30-06 narrative. Secondly, we're looking at it going, we've still been trying to determine what actually happened and who's Messiah Haunted. Everybody I know in the contract world has told me verbatim it was Mossad. They knew it was Mossad when it happened. They told me it was Mossad when it happened. However, we've been told the complete opposite. We've been told lie after lie after lie that the vast majority of people think that a guy on a roof with a Maserati 6 shot him and then jumped off and reassembled that whole story. So we're already setting the groundwork now with the mainstream media and with the banker boys and changing the entire narrative of what people see. Remember, that wasn't just a story. We saw it happen on every phone camera, on every live feed on social media. Or did we? Is that what we saw? Assuming that's what we saw, all the feeds tied together, 5 or 10 years from now, you're pretty much going to be able to come up with any video you want, and it's going to look 100% authentic. And that's where AI is going. So you're exactly right on that topic. We got to be very, very cautious what we're believing. And this is why you've got to have convictions. You've got to have a base that you believe, because there's going to be points in time where your belief is going to be tested. It's going to happen. Whether that be, whether it's your Christian belief, whether it's your belief in the Bill of Rights, whether it's belief in the freedoms you can express in the United States, whatever that belief is, it's going to get tested. And you better darn well be able to defend it. You better be able to say, no, this is why I believe it. I don't care what you're showing me now with AI. I don't care what you're deeming to be fake news. This is my belief. This is why I told people it was one of the stupidest, smallest, most minute things starting off, and it turned into this giant boondoggle, and it was running around wearing a diaper on your face during COVID. And I told her, I said, why is everybody wearing around wearing masks? Well, the CDC deemed it so. They issued a mandate. You must wear a mask everywhere you go. Guys, it had nothing to do with a mask. It had nothing to do with COVID. It was about compliance testing. It was to see how far they could push the world population and the U.S. population into complying with the most mundane, ludicrous, BS things they could possibly come up with. We've determined it's 6 feet apart. We're putting placards on the floor. 666. Oh, yeah, there was no numerology to that at all. They wouldn't even get me into that one. They wanted to see how far they could push the psyche of the human mind into complying with things that made no sense. They made zero scientific sense. They had zero research. They had zero backing, but they said to do it. And they wanted to get an algorithmic percentage on how much of the population was going to go along with asinine ideas. And they did. The whole thing was a giant psyop. Was the virus real? Was it a mutated flu? Absolutely, the thing was nasty. Was the COVID RNA shot very real? Oh, yeah. Gene therapy, you better believe that's real. And it, you saw what it did. Was remdesivir real? Yes. Probably one of the most deadliest antiviral drugs to ever hit the market in the world, to the point that they tested it in Sierra Leone and other aspects of Africa when they tested it for Ebola in 2016. and Merck had to pull it off the market, or GlaxoSmithKline, they pulled it off the market in their clinical trials because people started going into full organ failure within 5 days of going on with injectable remdesivir. Look it up. Yet somehow that product got shelved after 2016-17. Suddenly, it becomes standard of care in 2021. Doctors, hospitals, nurses, physicians, everybody put you on remdesivir as soon as you came in with even the most mildest COVID case, and suddenly people were dropping like flies on respirators. Had numerous good friends of mine, so his dad. Dead on remdesivir. So again, look at where they want to push it. It all started with the ideology that you have to wear a mask and be scared of your fellow American. The whole purpose at the very beginning phase was to keep people reminded of COVID. If people weren't wearing masks, everybody didn't think about it. We lived our lives. We didn't live in a spirit of fear. You take your vitamin C, your D3, your zinc, get fresh air, go to the beach. That was one of the craziest parts, is when they started telling everybody, you're not allowed to go to the beach. It has been built on universal truth for centuries, if not millennials. That fresh air, sunlight, salt water is extremely healing frequencies. That it's got powerful energy in the ocean. That you can go and get fresh air and actually help cleanse your lungs and cleanse your body. And it's very healthy for you. Been well documented. Yet the first time in recorded history, we told everyone, you're not allowed to go outside and breathe fresh air or go to the ocean and get fresh sunlight and fresh salt water. The first time in ever documented history, we told human beings you weren't allowed to go to the ocean. Why? Because they said COVID was getting into the sewage water that was somehow being dispersed out of the ocean and then somehow was reverberating, and it was COVID was coming back and hitting you in the face when you went out to the ocean. That was what they told you. That was literally what they said was the reason behind shutting down beaches. And people listened in some cases. This is why you've got to have a core basis, an ethos, a conviction that you're saying, no, they tried to do it in Daytona. We had an entire truck meet scheduled during COVID. I mean, middle of COVID. And we said, we're still coming out. They said, we're shutting down the beach. And the mayor, Fanumtik, very smart mayor in Daytona time, said, no, we're open at the beach. After 4 weeks, we're open on the beach. This is stupid. He goes, what scientific backing is this showing? You can't go to the beach. We've closed the beach from the American population. And he opened it up very, very quickly. And we very, very quickly descended upon the beach. And it was funny. Everybody was healthy. Nobody got sick. We didn't just self-separate. So again, go back and look at what somebody's telling you to do. What's it doing to you? And is that okay? Do you want to follow what somebody's telling you to do when there is no basis of research behind it, when there is no basis of science behind it, and when there is no at all even resemblance of reality based behind it? Look at it. That's not just with COVID. That's with everything. Always ask questions, always question the narrative, and always have something you can stand on conviction on, Dad. What do you think?
Excellent, bud. I know. I remember when you guys went and had that party at the beach there, and I mean, how much fun you guys had with the lifting.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so stupid because, you know, nobody's supposed to go. But, you know, Ron DeSantis did us right. He closed us down for like a month. He said, I'm not doing this. This is going to destroy tourism in Florida. It's going to cost billions of dollars. I'm not doing it. Florida stays open. It's a free state. And now when you fly, drive into Florida, it says Florida, the free state. I mean, I love DeSantis. By the way, I want to read you this full quote, though. We talked about it. D-Wave quantum computer systems founder Jordy Rose, who says he doesn't even understand how D-Waves work, says to watch out for a tsunami of demons coming through soon. Jordy Rose said the D-Wave quantum computers are able to summon a tsunami of demons or aliens that are equivalent to the old ones spoken of by horror author H.P. Lovecraft, summoning a race of superintelligent AI. Those of us who feel are awake and can see this for what it is, know that what they were summoning are not so-called aliens, but rather the fallen angels themselves. And then we're also talking about Lucifer here, so he can become omnipresent. Always remember what AI is going to do. It's going to revolutionize everything. This is why 5G and 6G were put into place during COVID, so people could not see all the towers going up. Always remember this. This is a major issue. That's why so much of the stuff that was in those vaccines, we don't even know what it was and what it's going to do to us long-term-wise. So be really careful when you decide to listen to somebody tell you what to do from a health standpoint if it's not something that's been well-documented or being well-researched. And that's the thing right now. They've done so much to so many people for so long now. that people have learned to comply. You know, when H.G. Wells, you know, his book, the Martian Invasion, was read on Mercury Theater way back in the 30s, they did it as a live broadcast to see, from a testing standpoint, what would happen to the population if they thought a real Martian invasion was happening, and they found that people went into full-blown panics. The same thing happened with COVID. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly what the algorithms were going to show, and if the people didn't want to listen, they were forced into compliance. They were arrested. They were taken off the beach. They were handcuffed. They were hauled off to jail. And one pastor that I knew over in Tampa, he was arrested and taken to jail. In fact, he turned himself in because he was having church service on Sunday morning still. Be really, really careful on who you follow and what they believe and what they tell you to do. Make sure you're following somebody who knows what they're doing. It's super important. And by the way, that's why I feel so strongly about what your values are. And that's why we talk about the Word of God all the time, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His values are always the same. He's the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our lives and our world and the entire universe. Always remember that. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, and things go a lot better for you. And Austin said it a minute ago, and he's right. It's from Jim Rohn. What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? Tell your kids that too. Talk to your children if they're to the point of rational, concrete thought, particularly if they're in their 20s, and say, what are you doing? What's it doing to you? Is that okay? You tell your young kids that too, that they have a harder time understanding that. Always remember to think about what the consequences are. That's fluid reasoning skills. Where is it going to go when I drop this domino? What's going to happen? Am I going to be okay, or is it going to go sideways for me? Always remember that before you sit down and have that glass of wine, that glass of whiskey, when you know that your mom was an alcoholic, your dad was an alcoholic, your brother's an alcoholic. What are you doing to control what you're going to do as far as from an alcoholic standpoint? And so be careful with that. The same thing with drugs. All those types of behaviors will come back to bite you. They really will. And so always try to do what's right in God's eyes, and things will go a whole lot better for you when you do that, Austin. What do you think?
Well, you're spot on, my friend, and that's why we do the best we can at Team Health Masters here. That's why we bring you guys the latest supplements, the research. And there's an article here, and I'll post it on the site so you guys can dig through it some. I meant to get into it in more detail today, and I covered it the other day, and it was talking about vitamin D and magnesium for supporting athletic performance and recovery. And this is one of the big things I constantly tell people is, you know, if you're going to get stronger, if you're going to progress, you've got to constantly take care of your body and adapt to it. You know, in your early 20s, your late teens, you can pretty much train all the time, not get enough sleep, not eat enough food, and you still are in great shape most of the time because your body's insanely young and it's still growing. Once you get past about 25, you really got to start taking care of yourself. You really got to start taking nutrients, especially if you want to continue to progress and grow and get bigger, stronger, faster, smarter, and everything. That includes reading. That includes being, you know, well-versed on topics, constantly basing in knowledge. Jim Rohn says it like this. He goes, if you take two guys, one guy, they're on base the same platform. One guy, you have him read a book, 10 pages every night. That's it, 10 pages every night. The other guy, you have him watch TV for an hour every single night instead of reading 10 pages. He goes, in a week, not much changes. In a month, not much changes. He goes, in a year, you start to know changes. Because by that time in a year, that guy has read dozens and dozens of books. That guy watched TV, has watched dozens and dozens of shows. Again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with enjoying and watching a movie occasionally, but look at what you're doing with your time. Look at what you're putting in your brain and your body. It's not just always food. It's always with your brain. What you focus on, what you look at, what you fixate on. If you continue to set positive goals, if you continue to stay positive, if you continue to look at more positive things and try to do the best you can, it will affect your entire body. The same thing goes with food. If you constantly are putting high-quality supplements like magnesium brain food, and you're getting positive results out of it, that's a good direction. If you're constantly throwing in garbage in your body like junk food and you're feeling sick all the time, that's a bad direction. Look at the direction and path you're taking, not just what makes you feel good right now, but what makes you feel great in a year. What's going to do you the best benefit in a year from now? And look at the long-term objective of it instead of just looking at the short-term, I want it now. I want that tub of ice cream now. That's easy. Everybody can do that. Everybody says, I just want to eat junk food tonight. I just want to do that. Yeah, It's called being lazy and undisciplined. Set goals, set certain things, give yourself rewards, benefits, do things like that. You don't have to eat like a monk 24/7, but do it consistently in the 80-20 rule, like I tell everybody. And like with this article here, vitamin D3 and magnesium work together to regulate muscle contractions, energy production, bone strength recovery, forming a nutrient pairing that determines how effectively your body responds to training. I'll get into this detail more next week, because I've had so many articles I haven't been able to touch base on this yet. Magnesium and D3. And while you're at it on the site, be sure to stay on top of the B-Complex formula on sale for product of the week, my friends. Stay strong. Stay healthy. If you need anything, contact us, healthmasters.com, or call us or email us. We're here to help you out. I appreciate you guys. Hope you enjoyed the show today. And we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, or excuse me, Monday. As always, have a blessed weekend, my friends.